Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The family of a man who died after an alleged police beating during a traffic stop is calling for calm when body cam video is released later today. Tyree Nichols' mother, Rayvon Wells.
I don't want us burning up our cities, tearing up the streets, because that's not what my son stood for. And if you guys are here for me and Tyree, then you will protest peacefully.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Officials have been preparing the public for the release of the body cam video.
We believe there was no ambiguity in the tape, and I think people will be able to judge for themselves once they see it.
Shelby County, Tennessee District Attorney Steve Mulroy on CBS Mornings.
I don't think on many viewers anywhere, there'll be a lot of debate about whether the use of force was justified in this case.
He says he's never seen anything like it.
I have not, no.
Five former officers are charged with second-degree murder. Americans are tightening their purse strings. Consumer spending fell 0.2% in December, slowing down holiday sales to their weakest pace in 2 years. Underlying inflation cooled to its lowest pace since October of 2021. In the Middle East, a back and forth between Israel and Gaza, a day after the deadliest Israeli air raid in more than two decades. CBS's Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
Hamas said the rockets were in retaliation for an Israeli raid into the Jenin refugee camp Thursday that left at least seven Palestinian militants and one civilian dead. The Palestinian Authority said it was cutting off security coordination with Israel.
This is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Yossi Michael, a teacher from Israel, visited the Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camp in Poland.
Through discussing the issues of the past and the present, we can go one step further, you know, to reconcile with the past.
An estimated 1.1 million people were killed at Auschwitz before it was liberated by Soviet troops 78 years ago today. Arizona lawmakers are considering a bill that would charge fentanyl dealers with first-degree murder for overdose deaths. Republican State Senator Anthony Kern sponsored the legislation.
That is a Class 1 felony and subject to the death penalty, life imprisonment.
Drivers may need to check for other cars and people behind them the old-fashioned way.
Introducing the all-new Ford Explorer.
Ford is recalling 382,000 late-model Explorers, Lincoln Navigators, Aviators, that is, and Lincoln Corsairs, because video output can fail and prevent rear-view camera images from displaying. The company reports 17 minor crashes. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Stephen Avery's lawyers want a new trial again. Their client is serving life in prison for the killing of Teresa Halbach near Manitowoc in 2005. His lawyers say the state needs to reopen the case. They claim another relative was seen with Halbach's SUV near the time she was killed, and that needs a closer look. Avery's legal team has asked for new trials several times. Judges turn them down every time. It looks like somebody tried to send a package of drugs to the Green Bay police chief. Investigators say the package was intercepted at the post office on Tuesday before it could get to Chief Chris Davis. They say the package contained fentanyl, cocaine, and a letter. Police say they'd rather people drop off unwanted drugs at a drop box at the police department lobby. In sports, the Bucks are at Indiana tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
And for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at She Can STEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress? But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Texas is that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And I want to talk, Sandy, about Tyree Nichols, a young man, 28 years old, who was beaten to death by law enforcement officers in Memphis. And there have been, I don't know how many cases since the murder of George Floyd. There have been many of them where law enforcement officers have brutalized citizens, and more than a few where they've actually beaten to death, citizens. But in this instance, Sandy, always the same thing. The guy was driving recklessly. None of us support reckless driving, right? Nobody supports somebody driving recklessly. You can be drunk and drive recklessly. So reckless driving is not a prerequisite to beating somebody to death because they were driving recklessly. I mean, Sandy, that can't.
Apparently what happened here is driving recklessly, gets stopped, he runs, they catch him. But once he's caught, you'd think that would be the end of the process.
That's the way it should be.
Handcuffing, once someone is submitted. But apparently in this particular instance, there was essentially a police riot. I mean, the police... five of them beat this guy to death. Apparently, the video that's going to be released, the police department has warned people that this will be a very graphic and horrifying video. So it must have been a very violent beating indeed. The police officers were charged immediately, essentially, with second degree murder. The police officers are all black, which it's interesting that they were able to charge them so quickly. Maybe the circumstance is that this isn't the basis for racial tension about the perpetrators versus the victims. All of the people involved were black. That doesn't mitigate the fact that it was police officers acting out, and that they were treating a black detainee in a horrifying fashion. But it seems to me that we all ought to scratch our heads about this in a couple of ways. One, what is it that drives policemen in the direction of committing these essentially atrocities? What is it about their job? What is it about their profile? And what is it that ought to be done to correct that situation, as well as just facing up to the fact that currently police departments— across the nation have used far too much brutality, and that frequently the brutality is aimed at people of color.
You know, Sandy, they're sworn to uphold the law. I was listening to conservative host this morning, And they were saying, well, nobody's saying anything about the black-on-black murders that take place every night in urban centers across the nation. Nobody says anything about that, but yet people are ready to get up and riot about this. There is no comparison between the two. Law enforcement is sworn to uphold the law, not to be criminals. What they did, Sandy, in murdering this guy makes them criminal, right? It was a criminal. There were criminal actions.
Well, yeah, and actually, you know, I don't know anything about the victim other than what we've currently said. 27-year-old guy, reckless driving, supposedly stopped, runs, beaten. That person doesn't have, currently, based on that much information, doesn't have the profile of a criminal, okay?
Okay.
He was carrying out conduct which would have been charged with, at most, a misdemeanor in all likelihood, a traffic violation, in fact. And running from the police can rise to the level of misdemeanor or even felony in certain circumstances. But, you know, it's not uncommon for frightened people upon being stopped by police to run. I mean, people of all ages have been known to do it. And the question is, what is the proper police reaction to that? And there's been, I'm sure, police in the police academy get trained for the proper kind of conduct in that circumstance. And the question is, why don't they use out there in the field, why don't they end up using that properly trained kind of conduct that they've been trained to use, and why do they go over the top? And I'm sure it has everything to do with stress and strain of the job at day to day. What do police do, and what does it do to them? And then what do we do about that? I mean, what should be done about that? And I'm just surprised that there isn't much more talk about that, even by the police. The job that police are being asked to do now is quite dehumanizing, clearly. And many, many police suffer a great deal of problems. The level of alcoholism amongst police is very high. The level of divorce is very high. The people are not happy with their jobs. They're very stressed. But we should be asking ourselves, shouldn't we be changing their job? And in fact, if you carried out that analysis, a lot of what the Black Lives Matter movement was talking about was trying to change the nature of what police do to get police into a circumstance in which their job might be more edifying, more satisfying, and less stressful.
You know, Sandy, the thought and the worry is that this was such a horrific video, such a horrific beating. Some have compared it to Rodney King, and that cities around this nation are worried that once it's shown that people are going to be out marching and that they are going to be protesting, as well they should, when this has been the MO for far too long, and there are people who automatically are willing to protect law enforcement, whether they've been good or bad actors. It's what's at the root of why people are going to be out protesting. Nobody in their right mind could say that these five police officers who beat this man to death, well, they're law enforcement, we've got to give them the benefit of the doubt. No, we don't, because they're law enforcement. But in this society, in many instances, we have people who are willing to defend the blue.
Well, I think what we should do, and we should figure out a way to get a unified approach to this. There are people who, and many people who understand and believe that police are a very necessary component.
There's no question.
We need to have them. So the notion of like defunding police and getting rid of them, that's what it sounds like, doesn't make any sense. And I don't think many people agree with that at all. But I think we should, and this circumstance is one which is horrifying, but it is a particular circumstance. And if we were going to take circumstances and do lessons learned from it, then I think obviously a lesson learned is we should do something to make sure that police departments don't have brutality like this being utilized by their officers out there in the street. But the second question is, okay, well, How do we change things so it's less likely to happen? And that's where I think we could get into an analysis of what policing has become, because what it's become, rather than the beat cop that it used to be in the 40s, guys who would walk around with a baton in their hand and say hello to people and have a whistle around their neck and a pistol on their belt.
And the fruit guy would give them an apple. Hey.
Yeah. I mean, they were intimate parts of the community. They were there to enforce the law. They did when they needed to, but everyone knew them, and they were not the enemies of the people. And what's happened now is that cops spend all their time in cruisers. The only time they interact with somebody is when they've had a call about a problem. So their life is filled with essentially the part of life that would involve picking up a rock and looking under the rock and seeing humanity at their worst in most circumstances, okay, or at least in terrible circumstances. And so as time goes on, the cops who do this become very fatigued, very, very cynical about what humanity means, because the humanity they see is all the stuff that's under a rock. What we've asked police to do is in many respects created the self-fulfilling prophecy of what police have become in terms of this problem. And so we need to, if I were part of the police union, I would be aggressively trying to get at what it is that police are being called upon to do, and to try and improve and change what police do and how they do it, instead of simply what happens now, which is we need more police. Well, we need more police to jump into the circumstance that does this to you. I mean, you know, I think it's hard to have empathy for five guys who beat somebody, but somehow a part of me wants to explore what takes a human being to the brink of that position where they do that, and that's what we need to do something about.
Well, you know, Sandy, the fact that they dehumanized the person that they beat to death.
Right.
They're law enforcement. They're interacting with human beings on a daily basis. How can you... And if you can...
Well, but dehumanization is something that happens to people in their occupations. Doctors and nurses become dehumanized to some extent, because if they get too much involved with the humanity of it, it's very stressful on them emotionally. And in wartime, you dehumanize the enemy. You call them gooks. You develop a whole system of taking away from your mind the notion that what you're dealing with and killing are human beings. And I think that that's what is the problem with the current police, what we call upon police to do, because what they do day to day almost inevitably causes them to dehumanize the people that they are dealing with each day.
But here's what I want people to understand. All police officers don't do this. The majority of them don't do this. There's a handful of them that do.
Yes.
And so they're able, so there's something going on that I think law enforcement should be able to either through psychological testing of those police officers from time to time to see where they are?
Well, I would argue just a bit, though, that I think you're right, that only a limited number of police react to all the pressures I've described of the job by turning into and developing the psychosis that creates people who do what these guys did. But all of them experience stress.
No question.
And experience life problems as the result.
They're human.
Because they're human. So I do think we should call. One way to get people looking at this together would be say, okay, how do we help police? How do we change the function of police so that so many police don't feel what is felt by these policemen?
844-967-2789. I see you, Tom. We'll get you on the other side. You two can join the conversation. Very much interested in what you have to say. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Snow likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 32, southwest winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight, lows dip down to about 14. Overcast skies again tomorrow, snow likely, daytime highs approaching 21. 3 to 5 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Texas at that same number. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams. And I know that many of you in the listening audience are torn because many of you support law enforcement, as I do. I want people to understand I've never been one who said defund the police. I've never been one who said don't support law enforcement when they're right. But when they're wrong, there's no way you should be supporting people who have committed crimes, which is what these officers did. And there's no way you can justify, well, it's tough to be a law enforcement. There's no way to justify what took place. Let's go to Tom. Okay, go ahead.
Because what I was saying was not an attempt to justify.
I'm just saying,
well, what we could do from this is say, number one, these guys, five guys, obviously, from what's been described, sound like they were committing a crime, and they need to be held accountable for it. But we should also be asking ourselves, how could five cops simultaneously reach this point and do this? And what is wrong with what we're asking police to do and what police then become that can cause this to be such a recurrent problem? And we ought to solve that. And it isn't simply taking money away from police departments. It's changing what police do.
You know, Sandy, we talk about children and peer pressure. What peer pressure could have possibly occurred that these five officers couldn't resist, couldn't tell Sandy, I'm talking to Sandy, Sandy and I are together, and something's going on, and I'm going to join Sandy, knowing that what Sandy is doing is wrong. Not one of the five could resist. They had to go along with the rest of the gang. I mean, come on. Tom, how you doing, man? You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, you know, I'm of the belief that, like Sandy was saying, we need to get, you know, the cops out of the cars. We need to get them into the communities. We need to have them going door to door to just actually introduce who they are and say, you know, that they work for we the people. They need, if they want to, I think a good gesture and kind of a little satire or comedy would be to give each person that they go to the door and a donut, since cops are known for donuts. and introduce themselves and say, you know, we're here to serve you. That's what we're here to do. So they actually get to know people in the community. Get them out of the cars. I know for myself, who walks door to door for a living, it makes all the difference in the world when you know the person that is actually in the community. That's number one. Number two, I wanted to say, Earl's a little bit on the topic yesterday, but in Arizona, they are saying that anyone that's a fentanyl dealer will get life in prison. And I would like to know how the new judge that possibly is going to be on the Supreme Court in the state of Wisconsin feels about that law. Does she feel that the person that is a fentanyl dealer, like her son?
Well, we should back off a little bit. Her son hasn't been either charged or convicted, so I think we should.
No, I know that.
I think we should be careful about, at least as we discuss this, discussing it in a manner like that.
Yeah. Okay, I apologize. So I want to say that how does she feel as a person that's possibly going to sit on the state Supreme Court? I'd like to know how she feels about people that are fentanyl dealers, and does she believe that the fentanyl dealer should be in life in prison, just like they are trying to do in Arizona? I would like to know her position on that.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call, yeah. Man. I want to focus on this issue with law enforcement, and I clearly know that there are people who call this show constantly and say to me, Earl, you didn't say anything about the riots that took place in the summer after George Floyd and Black Lives Matter and all those things. Constantly you hear people calling me and trying to get me to condemn the people who protested against what took place with George Floyd. And in this instance, there are going to be protests all over this country once people see the footage, as well it should be. When the people who are there and to protect, that's exactly what they're supposed to do, don't do that, then they certainly deserve to be chastised for that. And so, you know, I get it. Sometimes people who are 100% behind law enforcement, whether they're right or wrong, I know that the chief of police in the city of Milwaukee, I know him personally, does not support bad law enforcement officers. He doesn't support that. They are on foot in many instances in the community. So there are law enforcement, you know, Sandy, the vision of the chiefs of many, you know, these law enforcement groups across the nation. The chief is the guy who drives all of that. Is it safe to say? I remember when Chief Flynn came to Milwaukee from out east. And Chief Flynn came in, and he took officers, detectives, off the desks and put them on the street and on the beat, walking, and on bicycles. Law enforcement is controlled by the guy who's in charge. And so he will control what people can get away with and what they can't get away with. Because after it's all said and done, Sandy, the chief has a price to pay for how his officers react. Is it safe to say that?
Well, the buck should stop.
Organizationally. Hold the thought, Sandy. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. Memphis is a city on edge, waiting for the release of police body cam video showing a driver, Tyree Nichols, allegedly being beaten after a traffic stop. He died 3 days later. Shelby County District Attorney Steve Mulroy tells CBS Mornings.
What my hope will happen is that this will spark a broader conversation about how we can change that culture, how we can improve supervision on the part of the police.
The Commerce Department says shoppers were holding back in December as inflation slowed. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Households spent a little bit less in December, though income held up, and that meant that the savings rate increased.
Arizona lawmakers are considering a bill that would charge fentanyl dealers with first-degree murder for overdose deaths. Kara Jansen, a recovering addict, testified against the proposal.
We can't incarcerate this problem away. People need support from the community.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address reminded folks how he's steered the state economy back from the pandemic recession.
Over the last 4 years, unemployment has hit record lows, and we've had the highest number of people employed ever. Our state has a AAA bond credit rating for the first time in about 40 years. That means we're able to get lower interest rates and save your tax dollars. Our general fund and rainy day fund both ended the last fiscal year at the highest levels ever in our state's 175-year history.
For Republican legislators trying to take some of the credit, here's a gentle reminder. You sat at home on a paid vacation for over 9 months last year. Evers provided a detailed plan. Republicans offered the usual cliches and a tax cut for the rich. To learn more, follow us on Up North News Radio, weekdays 6 to 8.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's easy.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. Let's go to Dave from West Bend. Hey, good morning, Dave. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for waiting. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Great. Just a question. I want your thoughts on why do you think the incident in Memphis, why do you think it happened, the indictment and the arrest happened so much, at least to me, it seems it happened a lot faster than a lot of the other incidents that were similar to this?
It's a great question. I'll let Sandy answer it because I can. But you okay. notice the same thing that Sandy and I and others noticed. Not only did it come so swiftly, but the photos of those officers was put up immediately. And so, okay, go ahead, Sandy.
One hand from
He says, well, they put the photos up quickly because they wanted to make sure that it wasn't immediately turned into a race race issue. But the cynical side of me says they were able to do both that and charge them so quickly because the defendants were black rather than white. And I fear for that. I mean, you know, I think that to sauce for the goose should be sauce for the gander. These things should be treated alike. That doesn't mean that I think that, in fact, they ought to treat the officers more slowly as they have in all the other circumstances. I'm just a little cynical in my mind as to why they were suddenly able to treat these officers so rapidly. So I have the same question that, Dave, you have in your mind. I hope it doesn't become a big issue because ultimately justice should prevail based on the facts of the circumstances. But I was surprised at how quickly the police department and the prosecutors were able to reach a conclusion, which they always seem to reach much more slowly in other circumstances.
You know, Dave, you saw the same thing and from the same prism that Sandy and I saw it. I saw it immediately. But in the end, I'll tell you some of the things that I've heard mentioned from the side of the black community. It's been said that, you know, those black officers would have never done that to a white citizen. It's because the lives of blacks in this country are so devalued that they looked at this black man and at his life does not have value, as much value, even though they're black themselves, you know, and that at the root of it is that. And so, well, he's a black guy, so this is one of the reasons why, you know, we're going to do it. This black guy should know better. He shouldn't be running. And so there's that out there. There's a racial component to it, whether we want it to be there or not, Sandy. It's there.
Yeah.
And I know, and Dave, and I know that they're trying to control that. And I don't know if you can. Dave, you want to add something?
Yeah, just an aside here. I think me and you are about the same age, so we've seen probably the same history over the last 50 or so years. And my other question is, I know, you know, I'm around black folks all my life, and I can't understand how five black men would do this to not just a black person, to anybody. It was five of them, and this is completely new. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before.
Well, I can say this to you. There have been black officers that have been pretty tough on black people. In my lifetime, I've seen it. I've known of officers.
Well, I think there was a controversial officer in the Milwaukee department.
That's exactly right.
Who had been one who had used his pistol in the line of duty and had killed more than one person in the process and became suspect, at least got notoriety in that regard.
So that, Dave, is what I will say to you. There are some people who should never even be in law enforcement. Let's just say that. I don't know how they profile people to say that they're okay to be law enforcement officers. I really don't. But I think that's kind of at the root of it. And then what Sandy has talked about, but I think they need to be clearly retesting law enforcement officers from time to time. To see how, you know, they are standing up to what is a difficult, difficult job. Dave, anything else?
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, I think that's another whole big discussion. But, yeah, I think once an officer is divorced, I really think you have to look into that. All those little issues can impact how somebody's going to perform on their job.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, thank you very much for listening, man. Thank you very much for the call, man. Keep listening, keep calling. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Let's go to Sherman from Racine. Hey, Sherman, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Okay, Earl. Hey, guys. Good morning. As I'm sitting here listening at you guys,
everything what you're saying is spot on. Dave, his question. I've been kind of reading up on this and kind of following this case a little bit. And over the course of the next few days, as these pictures come out, you guys are going to hear about a unit in the Memphis Police Department called the Scorpion Unit.
Okay.
Okay, and what this chief down there did, Chief Davis, the young black woman, she started this unit. Memphis is having the same problems we're having here in Milwaukee. Okay, well, let me say this first. I'm not trying to justify anything because I agree with everything that's been said going both ways here. But anyway, she started this unit to deal with reckless driving and just all the killings and stuff they were having, just like the same issues we're having here in Milwaukee.
Like urban centers all over the country. Go ahead.
Right, exactly. So she got 50 officers, and she broke them up into five-man teams. So she had 10 five-man teams, and they were dispatched to quote-unquote high-crime areas or the areas where the numbers said these incidents occur most. And that's what these guys were doing. Now, prior to this incident, their numbers were astonishing. I mean, I'm talking over a 3 or 4 month period, 390 arrests, 197 felony convictions, 160 weapons arrests involved with weapons and all of that.
So actually, it was a sweep.
Dave's question.
They were part of a sweep that was going on.
Well, yeah, you could call it a sweep. I think what she called it was the organized crime unit,
okay.
or the. Something like that, okay?
Okay.
Now, these five guys were part of that unit.
Okay.
Okay, that's why when this gentleman, because I understand the way this incident occurred, the young man, Mr. Nichols, was driving. These officers, he came to their attention for whatever reason. From what I understand, there was no probable cause.
Right, they just he was profiled.
Right. Oh, he was profiled. He got away, but they had wrote down his license number. So when they turned a couple of corners and they couldn't find him, they called back to dispatch to ask what was the address of that license number we just called in and gave y'all. And they told them the license number. Then they drove around by the house, the address of the license, and they saw him 80 yards from his mother's house. And they just jumped out and started beating the crap out the kids. And they were mad telling him, from what some of the neighbors were saying, you don't run from us. You don't run from us. When he hollered, what did I do? This is what they're saying, why they're beating the crap out of him. So I don't know how many of y'all got bullied when y'all was little kids, but that was what the bully used to always say.
You,
come here, man. Don't run from me.
You know what, Sherman?
See what I'm saying?
I never got bullied. I was the bully. But anyway.
Okay.
But
you understand the mentality.
Earl said that with a smile. I'm not afraid of him now, and I wouldn't have been afraid of him then.
No, I was never the bully. Your point is valid, is well taken. It's understood because from the standpoint.
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sherman, quickly.
Okay. Now, let me say, so that answered my question as to how did five black officers beat the crap out of a young black man on the streets? Because that was my first, just like Dave, how did this even happen? I'm 65 years old, man. Come on. You know, cops here in Milwaukee, they might slap you upside the head when we were young. But wasn't nobody going to just beat you until you like that kid would?
So what
was the mentality?
So what you are saying is because of what they're dealing with on a daily basis, a lot of criminals, they're seeing a lot of some horrific things going on. They were there to clean things up and they just treated this guy like some of the people that they're running across.
There you go. See,
yeah, but
everybody looked like me.
Well, I mean, it's a couple
No. You can never justify it.
So, Sherman,
my father and my mom.
Go ahead, Sam.
Well, a couple of things. One, it's interesting. Memphis is a city very much like Milwaukee. Milwaukee and Memphis are about tied for segregation in terms of housing. They're about tied for scale of crime and the youth crime. And it's a city very much like Milwaukee. They don't talk quite like us, but the profile is the same. We need to be alert to this kind of a situation. But I also think that, I think that all of this simply demonstrates the fact that that policing needs to be looked at for the benefit of the police. You know, I think certainly for the benefit of the people who are mistreated by the police, but we got to get to the core of why is it? Because fundamentally, how could five guys, black or white, decide that in unison they would, instead of one person, just one, needed to step forward and say, hey, guys, you know, but didn't happen apparently.
But now, and Earl touched on this earlier in you guys' conversation, man. We're all men, man. We understand peer pressure and wanting to fit in. Which officer was going to step forward and say that?
Well, see, that's the problem. All five of them should have been able to step in and say this is wrong.
But the point is, you know, we can try and pin the tail on the criminal.
Sherman, hang on.
We can spend our time in the news media and ourselves pinning the criminal tail on the donkeys that did the crime. But what we ought to be asking ourselves is the much deeper question, why would five officers, why is this problem endemic across the country? And it has everything to do with policing and how we are carrying out policing. It's not so much how we're training police. It's the function that we're asking police to perform.
Sherman, quickly.
Well, Sandy, I agree with you 1,000%. And one of the other big issues that I believe in this is the police unions. Because, see, we have to understand we're all on the same side, you know. And I can't even imagine being a police officer driving around in a car with somebody may take a shot at me at any time and every time I pull over. So it's a rough job. But their job will be easier if the community trusts them. And every time an incident happens, it has to be accountability, just like they just did in Memphis. My point I was going to make is, you guys are saying, why did they do it so quick? I agree with you. There was a racial component. At the same time, there was the component about the Scorpion unit. And they needed to get on top of this right quick. And I mean, because the union is working with the chief down there. That doesn't happen everywhere. If the unions will stop protecting bad cops, it will be a lot easier for the community to trust the cops.
Hey, Sherman.
If I do something wrong, I got to own up. I know you got to go, Earl.
Hey, man, thank you very much for the call, man.
Really good call. Very good comments.
Yeah, you were right on point, man. And thank you for calling, man. I don't know how often you listen, but you were right on point. Listen.
I'm listening to you guys every day. I'll be calling back.
All right. Thank you, man. Please do. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. CJ, I see you. We're going to come to you after the break. Sandy Williams, we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
They're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge, and then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled into voting Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but early detection allowed us to take control of the situation. Together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 32 this afternoon under cloudy skies with snow likely. Southwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Lows around 14 tonight. Overcast skies. Snow likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 21. Overcast. 3 to 5 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. CJ, you're up.
Well, Earl and Sandy, thank you for taking my call. Another tragedy. This is a tragic situation, but I think we're reaping what we've sown.
What do you mean?
We've got very frustrated officers. They've been demonized for a long time.
Should these officers be demonized?
Well, from what we've heard so far, certainly. But, you know, the training, we're having a hard time recruiting them. But, you know, I do have questions, and a lot of these cases start out with simple traffic stops and these young men not following directions by the police officers. Lack of respect for authority is prevalent in virtually all these cases. We heard about, we can look back on past cases like Jacob Blake.
So let's deal with this one, CJ.
I've been talking about.
I think there's corresponding factors. Though.
No. I understand what you're saying, but I'm.
We got Cop City, but let me ask you a question. We got Cop City in Atlanta being trying to be burned down by Antifa, and you can laugh at it, Earl, but it's true. These are members of Antifa, and demonized police is prevalent. Hatred for the police is prevalent. Kids are brought up.
Let me first correct you. Kids are not brought up to hate the police. I didn't raise my children to hate the police. My parents didn't raise me to hate the police. My parents raised me to respect law enforcement. And I know many others. What we are told. What black people are told, I don't care what you saw in video. Let me tell you what I told my sons. No. Let me tell you what I told my sons.
Let me hear this.
Okay. When you're out here, turn them down. When you make sure if you're out here in a car, Sandy, that your car is registered, that you've got the right license plates, that everything works, that you're not smoking weed in the car, and that, you know, the persons that you have with you aren't wanted for some, you know, serious crimes. Because now when they stop you and anything happens out of the way, Sandy, now I can defend you. But it's hard for me to defend you if you're pulled over, Sandy, because the lights don't work on your car. Or if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, Sandy, and the windows are down and the plumes of marijuana comes out of the car and the music is turned up to the highest decibels and the law enforcement pull you over. I can't defend you in that instance, but if you followed all these other laws and you get stopped now, you know, we can have this discussion and I can protect you and I can fight for you.
Well, let's just to get back, though, because I think you and I in this having this conversation have tried to attack it like problem solvers. So rather than pointing out, CJ, the fact that something happened in Atlanta and that some people believe that it was Antifa people marching in the Black Lives Matter movement and you know, how many people that were doing that were, who knows. But the point I'm trying to make is that we do have a situation that has arisen repeatedly across the country. And police issues associated with arrests have come up. Yes, most of the circumstances involve arrests where maybe the person in some fashion resisted arrest. At least that's been the story involved with many of the circumstances. But, of course, in almost every circumstance, the death of the arrestee was far in excess of what should have resulted from whatever the circumstance was during the arrest. And so what I'm simply suggesting is that yes, police, we ought to be empathetic to the police side of this, because something is happening to the people who are policemen that causes them to be under a great deal of stress, the circumstances in which they operate and also what they're asked to do in those circumstances create situational problems. And what we need to do is address this from both sides of the equation. And I'm confident that police, many of them, and even the police unions are interested in addressing the nature of the job that police are being asked to do, because it's extremely stressful, extremely difficult, and it results in people acting out. And it's the acting out part that becomes the problem, and it's the acting out part that creates the friction between the community and the police, and we need to come to grips with it all. And so rather than simply trying to point at this from a political standpoint and suggest that it's the result of some political conduct in the past, my suggestion is that we look at the circumstances and try and solve for them.
CJ?
Well, I agree with Sandy, but we get it thrown in our face, political solutions, all the time. There's the place in Atlanta is supposedly they call Cop City. If they're trying to build a police training center to train police, and they're bombing that.
Who's bombing? CJ, what do you mean bombing?
Vandalizing, throwing up Molotov cocktails, breaking windows,
okay.
Hang on a second. CJ, we've got to go to a break.
844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. We'll be right back.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, man. Matt. I really miss him. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's my name? Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.